Well, friends, we're turning this evening to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 5. And the New Testament, it begins with four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Mark is the second Gospel. And we're chapter 5, and we're just reading a few verses from Mark chapter 5, and verse 25 down to verse 34. Mark chapter 5. I'm beginning to read from verse 25. Let us hear God's word. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the crowd, behind, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out from him, turned him about in the press, in the crowd, and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee. Seest thou who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole or healed of thy plague." And the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. Well, friends, this evening we're considering together this wonderful miracle under the title, The Desperate Woman. And this is a picture of every single person tonight in the world who doesn't have Christ. It's also a picture of someone who's seeking Christ. And there's so much here to help us to understand what the gospel is about and how compassionate and kind the Lord Jesus is. Now, in context, we need to remember this. This woman comes to Christ as he is on his way to heal someone else. He's been invited by the ruler of the synagogue. And we believe this is in a region in North Galilee near the lake. And he's been invited to come and heal his little daughter. And she's in a terrible state. She's very sick and very ill. And yet, as the Lord Jesus is going to heal this little girl, and by the way, the man's name was Jairus, and he most likely was a believer, certainly a faithful man, and he trusted in the Lord, and he knew the Lord could help him in this situation. As the Lord Jesus is probably going with Jairus, or certainly with his servants, this woman does something remarkable. Something quite wonderful, and yet something that you may not have seen as important before. By the way, we'll also be referring to one or two other places that the same miracle is recorded for us. It's found in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 18 and following, and then Luke chapter 8 verse 43. Now, Luke is very important because Luke was a doctor. And Luke knew about these situations. He had dealt with people with these kind of conditions. And yet Luke records for us something very important. So if you think about the story here, and it is a marvellous story, but it's more than that, it's a true story. We think of this woman, and she's in a great crowd, and she's thinking to herself in her mind, "Well, maybe I can get to the Lord Jesus Christ. In some ways, you could think of her like an interrupter. She's interrupting the flow of the narrative, of the story, but she's also interrupting the progress of the Lord. She is a marvelous, her faith here is very small. And yet look at what happens. What a contrast. We look at certain things tonight. The first is this, the woman's sad condition. The woman's sad condition. Notice how Matthew and Mark and Luke describe her. She's here described as a certain woman which had an issue of blood many years. The issue of blood, what's that referring to? Well, in the original language, it's to do with cuts, that's the words used, or scars, or some people think it's to do with the woman's cycle. But others, who are more trustworthy, believe that this is something like a condition that when you bang your hand or bang your arm, you bleed, a bit like hemophilia. And if that's the case, then this woman has had this particular condition for years and years and years. 12 years, we're told. Perhaps you think, well, maybe she had it from birth. We don't know, we're not told. But she's had it a long time. Perhaps the 12 years refers to, in verse 25, its severity and how serious it's getting. And she's in a very sad state. She had it for 12 years. Imagine those 12 long years. Imagine the days that she went through, and each day, if she did have this kind of condition of like a hemophilia condition, that she would be worried about, would she get through the day? The flow of blood here is very interesting. It's an issue of blood. It's not just blood flowing now and again. It's not just happening on certain occasions. It's interesting how when the woman is described in Matthew chapter 9 verse 20, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him. She's got a disease. Mark uses the word plague. Perhaps this is a description of what she has enduring and how pressing it is upon our mind. In Luke's account, a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians. Can you think of her friends? Maybe you can think of someone like this. Maybe you're like this. You've got some condition and it's wearing you down. But it's very important to remember the context here. If she was a Jew, she would not be allowed to worship with the Jews in the temple because of her condition. And imagine the stigma attached to her. Imagine her going into the community and having this particular issue. And she might feel shame and guilt and despair. She's at the end of herself. She's certainly at the end of her means. She's certainly at the end of anything that could help her, humanly speaking. You see, this woman is in a desperate situation. You could call it a woeful condition. But there's something else about this woman. She was wealthy. She spent all she had. All she had. In Luke's account, she's had this disease for 12 years. And she's tried to get a cure. She's not just sitting back and saying, oh, I think I'll just have this for the rest of my days. She wants to get rid of it. And so would we. In those days, you didn't have the National Health Service or anything like it. You had to pay for your health care. And she might have tried the various means that were available in those days. There were people who had certain plants and knowledge of plants and various ways of healing certain conditions. But this is incurable. That's the point. So she's in a woeful condition. She spends all she has. Do we know if she's a family? We don't. There's no husband or children mentioned here. But if she was a devout Jewess, most likely she was married. And most likely she was belonging to the religion of Israel. But this is the thing. You might think, oh, I feel sorry for this woman. But there's another picture here. This is a picture of every person. Well, sorry, I put it this way. This is a picture of someone who's desperate. Someone who's got to the end of themselves. Someone who senses that they're not able to go on any longer in this situation. It's also a picture of somebody who feels their sin. The Bible describes our sin as a disease. Not that we can get it from somebody else. You can't catch sinfulness from someone else. We're already sinful in our hearts. Some people have this idea that if they live in the top of a mountain and never see anybody, that they'll never sin. That's not true, friends. Here we have a picture of you and I. This is us. We're in a sad condition. We're in a helpless situation. We're in a place where we're not sure how to get forgiveness or salvation or peace with God or whatever way you want to put it. What a sad condition she's in. What a sad condition the world is in. Not knowing God, not knowing Christ, not knowing his power and his compassion that we'll see in a moment, not knowing that marvelous cure for sin and for the shame and guilt that we have built up over the years because of our actions and our attitudes and our lifestyles. This is it. This woman's sad condition is but a reflection of each and every one of us before we became Christians. Do you remember the time, dear friends, when you were seeking the Lord? Do you remember the time that you felt your own sin, but more than that, you felt your own shame and guilt? And you thought, there's no cure for this. There's no hope for this. There's no help for me. But that's the gospel message. There is hope. There is help. Will anybody help this woman? Well, the disciples can't help her. And the religious leader can't help her. But there's someone who will and can help her. Because that's the second thing, the woman's sad condition. Secondly, the woman's miraculous cure. Now notice this. She comes to Christ secretly. In verse 21, she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Now you can imagine what's going on in her mind. Oh, I need help. I need help from someone else. I've heard about this healer, this marvelous miracle worker, this Messiah, this Savior. Oh, maybe he'll help me. But I dare not go in front of everyone. I dare not draw any attention to myself. I know what I'll do. I'll stretch out my hand when I'm in the crowd next time. I see him passing by and then I'll be cured. You can see how her mind is working here. And it's quite an insight, really. In verse 26 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 26, she had spent all she had and there was nothing better but rather grew worse. And verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. She does it secretly. She doesn't want to be detected. She doesn't want to be found out. She's heard about this Savior, this great miracle worker. This one has already cured others. And if you notice in the same passage in Mark's Gospel, you'll find that he has already cast out demons from a man who was owned by demons. In the rest of the chapter, he will heal Jairus' daughter. But here, she reaches out. Now, in this original, we're told what she touched. Did you notice the phrase, the hem of his garment? That's so important. Because on Jewish rabbis wore special clothing. They didn't wear suits and ties. That wasn't the custom. But they did wear special clothing. They wore long garments that had little pieces of thread at the edge of each garment. It was called a tassel. And what this woman was planning to do as a last-ditch effort is to touch the very tassel or the very hem of his garment. She had already convinced herself that nobody else would know. No other human being would know. Because there's so many people pressing around. Imagine being in a big crowd. Imagine if you're going to some great event, maybe a sports event or a conference or something like that, and you're all pushing along and shoving along. You don't know who's pushing who. Hope we don't get upset if we get pushed in the wrong way. But you can't tell which person has pushed you. Somebody's up front, somebody's beside you, and somebody's behind you. But there was one who knew exactly what was happening. And I believe he gave her the faith to believe that he would heal her. This is the thing, you see. This is the remarkable work of God. And the Holy Spirit is at work here. He has prompted this woman to do something that only someone divine would understand and know about. So she comes in the crowd. The word press there is an old word for being pressed in. There's a great crowd. The disciples are there. There's a great gathering there. Of course, he's just healed this woman, this man who was caught, who was in the tombs owned by demons. But he's also on his way now with a great crowd to heal this little girl. And she stretches out and touches the hem of his garment. On the rabbi's garment, there would have been four cords tied to every devout Jew's clothing hem. Matthew 9:18 is where you find the hem of his garment. And she's thinking in her head, oh, if I could just catch a hold. Oh, if I could just touch the edge of his cloak. Oh, that I could just have a little piece of that miraculous power. And so what she does, everything goes well. She comes up in the crowd. She reaches out her hand. And she's immediately cured. It's miraculous. She doesn't need to have a consultation with the Savior. She doesn't need to be diagnosed with her particular situation and then have examinations. She doesn't need to come over a period of weeks. It's straight away. Without delay. Mark loves this word immediately. He uses it many, many times in his gospel. Mark's always moving on. And in verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. Straight away. And she feels in her body that she was healed of that plague. And of course, the most important thing for her is that the flow of blood has stopped. She's no longer bleeding. Perhaps her blood had been flowing out of her so much that she was getting worse and worse and perhaps on death's door. But straight away, and imagine how the healing worked. As she touched the hem of the Lord's garment, the power of God flowed from her hand all the way through her body. She was healed. She was completely healed. She was fully healed. But then, her plans are exposed. And this is the marvelous thing. In this miracle, she thought she would not be detected and nobody would know. The disciples don't know what's happening. Jairus certainly doesn't know what's happening. The servants don't know what's happening and the crowd don't know what's happening. Ah, but the Lord does. And you might think, well, what's the Lord Jesus going to do now? We've seen, first of all, the woman's woeful condition or desperate condition. Secondly, we've seen the woman's miraculous cure. But thirdly, we see the Saviour's wonderful compassion. And it's wonderful. Look at this. What does the Lord do? Well, what does Mark say about the Lord Jesus? He says, immediately knowing in himself, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched me? Isn't it interesting how the Lord knew straight away that this woman was healed? In another place, in Luke's account, we have these words. Luke chapter 9. Who touched me? We'll see how the disciples react in a moment. But how marvellous to see, sorry, it's Luke chapter 8, of course. How marvellous to see the Lord's dealings with this. In verse 44, Luke chapter 8, verse 44, she came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Immediately her issue of blood was staunched or stopped. That's a medical term. That's why Luke is so important here. He's the doctor. And Jesus said, who touched me? Now notice the response of all the crowd. They've all denied that they touched him. Nobody is admitting that they touched him in any particular way. They've just brushed against him or they've been following him. But the Lord Jesus presses the point. In verse 46. Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And you might think, oh dear. The woman's exposed. She's now going to be identified. She wanted to do everything in secret and then blend back into the crowd. But the Lord is calling her forward. He doesn't mention her name, but he does say, who touched me? Some virtue has gone out of me. And when the woman, verse 47, when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and fell down before him. The disciples said, well, everybody's touching you, so what do you mean? But in Mark's account, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Why did the Lord do this? I thought he'd... Somebody might think, oh, well, it would have been fine if this woman had to be healed and then it'd all be done in secret. He wants her to confess her faith publicly. And perhaps that's what the Lord wants us to do here tonight. To confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord. He wants others to see her faith in him was enough for her to be healed. He wants his disciples to be confirmed that he, indeed, is not only the Saviour of sinners, but he's the Lord of glory. And he says to us, have you been healed? Has your heart been healed? Do you know me? Do you know the experience of this woman? As I said at the beginning, this is a picture of somebody who's seeking the Lord. And the Lord is saying, stretch out your hand and trust in me, dear friend. Come to me now. Perhaps you'll want to come to me secretly later on, but come to me nonetheless. I won't cast you out. I won't disown you. I won't abandon you. See, this is the compassion of the Lord. How gracious and kind he is. But he has something else to tell us. The Lord Jesus knew that she had been healed. But he wants her to tell her something else in verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter. I wonder, had she ever been called a daughter in her adult life? Had she ever been addressed with such affection and kindness? Had she ever known that reality that she was loved and accepted? Because the Lord says to her, daughter, now she's one of his. Now she belongs to him. You could put in there, she's a daughter of the faith. She's a daughter of the Lord. She's becoming a new believer. She's born again. She's now a believer in Christ. But what does the Lord Jesus say? He doesn't say, daughter, you've done well. And he doesn't say, daughter, your works have done it for you. He doesn't even say, daughter, your religion has helped you. Oh no, this is much deeper. He says, daughter, thy faith had made thee whole. Thy faith, thy trust, thy belief in me is all that was needed. But what about all the works and all the ceremonies and all the religious exercises? You don't need any of those. Your faith is enough. Faith in me. And then I want you to notice one other thing just before we close. Thy faith had made thee whole. Now notice this. The Lord Jesus does not say, thy faith had saved thee. Don't a moment we'll see that. Thy faith had made thee whole, body and soul. And that's what happens when you become a Christian. You become part of God's family and you become whole. Yes, it's one thing to know about Jesus Christ. It's quite another thing to know him. Thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace. This is the Rabbi, the Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory saying, now you're at peace with God. Now you're at peace in your soul. Now you can go in peace and you'll never have to worry again. This plague, this disease will never return. And is it not marvellous that the Lord Jesus says to us tonight as his people, and maybe there's someone seeking, and you're saying, would he be thoughtful of me? Would the Lord Jesus be so concerned about me, little old me? Would the Lord Jesus show such kindness to me? Oh, I'm in such a desperate place. I've gone through great trials and difficulties. Surely the Lord won't think much of me. Think again. The Lord has taken you through that, taken you here to hear this message. There is hope and there is healing in Christ. There's certain things I just want to close with. This woman began with little faith, but it was enough. She believed that the Lord Jesus could forgive, could deal with her great issue. And her great issue was a problem. The Lord Jesus used the word whole here in to do with her soul, her whole person. It's to do with the whole of our humanity. Her body and soul are now cleansed and her body and soul are now renewed. For the rest of her days, she'll own the Saviour as her Lord. She let others know, can I tell you about the Messiah from Nazareth who healed me? Can I tell you about his love and his compassion and his kindness? And he didn't rebuke me. He took me in and he called me his daughter. This is what happens when one becomes a Christian. She has a new nature. She has a new heart. she is a new person. Well, I trust some of us here will be able to say the same. I found a friend, oh, such a friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, the Lord Jesus can heal her and forgive and cleanse her inwardly only because he went to Calvary. And on the cross of Calvary, he suffered for the sinner, just like you and me, and this woman as well. Now, I'm not saying she's being punished for her sin by having this problem, but she, indeed, like everyone else who trusts in the Lord Jesus, is made whole. Have we been made whole tonight? Are we trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and his wonderful love and his grace and his compassion shown for us at Calvary? Do we know what the power of the cross is about? Do we understand that our greatest need and to be healed of is to be healed of the incurable disease of sin? And if we do, are we rejoicing in it? Are we telling others about it, that he has made me whole and he can make you whole too? O Lord our God, each one of us here tonight indeed have heard thy gospel again. And O Lord, some might be on the brink of seeking the Lord and stretching out by faith and saying, Lord, I come to thee, I bow before thee, I ask of thee, Lord, which I cannot do for myself. I cannot forgive my own sin, and I cannot give myself a new heart. But Lord, tonight, through the scriptures and through the gospel, thou hast promised that thou wilt not only forgive us, but thou wilt give us a new nature and a new heart and a new principles. O Lord, we pray, if anybody desperate tonight, anybody listening even later to the message, that they, Lord, would come to Christ. O Lamb of God, I come. They will believe that thou wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve them of all their sin and all the burden and shame and guilt of sin. O Lord, come. Come, O Lord, and ask and invite others to come to thee and to trust in thee. O Lord, we pray that our love for thee would grow and increase and abound. And as the gospel goes forth, that many souls will be won to the Saviour. We ask, O Father, hear our prayers in the Saviour's name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore this night. Amen.